friend called me yesterday, and Hamp and I went to seminary 25 years ago, and we lived on the same dorm floor, and now he lives in Vallejo. Now, it may not be a big deal that he called me, but we both went to school in Richmond, Virginia, and we're here in the same area. And he knows there's a certain franticness with pastors this time of year, so he left me a message, a long one, because he can't talk short. And it just said, "I'm just checking on people. I know things are going crazy. Just wanted to see how you were, blah, 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 blah. Call me." And I was a little frantic myself, so I thought, "Oh, I don't really want to call him back." But I did. And so we talked about, what are you going to do on Christmas Eve? And we're all hoping for that really good story to save us. And Hampton said, "Well, I drew a cartoon this year." I thought, that's not going to help me. He puts words in front of his church, so when you walk in, you're supposed to ponder them. And this year, he drew a cartoon of two women in a Hallmark store. That's a store where you buy cards. And they're looking over hundreds of boxes of Christmas cards to get the right one. And one woman turns to another and she says, "Why do they put so much religion in this Christmas card stuff?" It's like, right, that Jesus kind of does get in the way. And then my friend said, "Well, I've been calling a lot of people today, but you're the only pastor that called me back." And I said, "Hamp, why have you been calling people?" And he goes, "Well, you know, I care about my friends and I had a touch with trauma and blah, blah, blah." I said, "Hampton, what do you mean you had a touch with trauma?" And he said, "My son was following me down that, you know, in Oakland in the big freeway, and we were going to go pick up my daughter, so I'm driving and he's tailing me in the car, you know, coming behind. And he said, it was really bad traffic and a car stopped in front of me and I went around him. And as I'm watching in my rearview mirror, I see my boy slam into a truck. And all he could do was pull over his car on the side of the road. And he said, I don't know what happened to my son. So he got out and he ran down the freeway and he saw his son's car just smashed up. And he started yelling at his son and his son answered him back from underneath the airbag. And they were able to get him out, and he walked his son to the side of the road until the ambulances and all came, and he was actually okay but sore. And Hampton said, I looked in that rearview mirror when he slammed into that truck, and I said, I thought I would never see him again. And so I'm calling my friends to see how they're doing. I think the fear of losing his son made him so thankful he reached out to people. The fact that his car his son was driving was totaled made no difference at all. He was glad that there were such things as airbags. See, in this Christmas time, he had experienced light and darkness and joy and fear that underlies it lurking around the corner. I think a lot of us kind of feel like that right now. I mean, we come to Christmas, this big old yay service, and we could be thinking of someone that we've lost in the last year or a relationship that has been broken. Or maybe we're thinking about those that we know have had hard experiences. Or maybe we get to be with family, and that could be a blessing, and it could also be a little complicated. Or maybe some of us are overwhelmed by the changes that may be happening in the government. Or maybe we're worried how it's going to affect people in need. And then maybe we could think about what's going on in Syria or that Christmas market, and that perky little Santa car doesn't really fit anymore. And where do you mix, oh, Merry Christmas, and all this other dark kind of peace? Well, if you listen to the Christmas story, it's a mixture too. I mean, we hear about good news for all people and Emmanuel, God with us. And then did you also hear that it happened in a barn? a stable, a birth with no family and no midwife, to a young girl and a bewildered husband, and they had to flee. The donkey told you about that right after. God incarnate, made human, enfleshed in a tiny child. Joy in the midst of chaos, light in the midst of dark. Welcome to a world that couldn't make room for a pregnant mother. It's not a Christmas card picture, this incarnation. God enfleshed, who changed the world and still won't let the world or us go. David Losey, a Lutheran, talks about incarnation enfleshed in this way. For Luther, who was a big Lutheran, I guess you could figure that out. One of the things that makes Christmas so special is it's a celebration of God's intent and action to be joined with us fully, to take on our lot and life completely, to give us all grace and goodness, and to promise always to see us and trust us and treat us as if we were Christ. Or as a saint said a millennium before Luther, Christ became like us so that we might become like Christ, to receive hope and to give it, to be transformed. And I've been thinking about hope these last couple of days, because if honest, I've had a little darkness on me. I have GPS, grumpy pastor syndrome, and I've had it kind of bad this year. So I want a little more than cute Christmas cards. I need hope, and not just hope that feels good for the moment, like a lotion or a salve. I need hope that transforms. Christ became like us so we might become like Christ. So I've been trying to look for hope these last 2 days. And I read an article in a newspaper, because I actually believe in those, about a Muslim-owned restaurant in London named Shish. And this restaurant is owned by a Muslim, as I said, and they serve Turkish food, and they are offering free meals to the homeless and the elderly on Christmas. On their door, they wrote just in a piece of yellow paper with a pencil, "No one eats alone on Christmas Day. We are here to sit with you," and promised a three-course meal to the elderly and homeless. A Muslim did this. The owner said, "We're just helping people. Lots of people stay home alone for Christmas, and they don't need to. They can come here and have some fun." A bit of hope. But it's in London, and that's a long way away. So I decided to look on Polk Street the last 2 days. And walking on the 23rd with 4 tasks to do and 20 minutes, I saw a woman walking down the street, and she looked like one of our members who had passed a number of years ago, named Jean Englehart. She was older, but she was looking good. She had her hair done, and she had really good-looking pants and a Christmas sweater and these big old earrings, and she was walking on a walker. And I passed her 3 times because her progress was slow. And finally, as I'm passing her this way, I say, "You are all done up for Christmas, aren't you?" And she goes, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Those earrings are fabulous." And she goes, "Well, it's quite a day." And then she wished me Merry Christmas. This stranger, who was going so slow, dressed up with joy to do errands. And then I started to talk to people. And when they said, "Happy holidays," which I like, but it's kind of neutral, because I'm a pastor. Now I've been going to them and saying, they go, "Happy holidays, here's your cup of coffee." And I have said, in my tradition, we say Merry Christmas and peace be with you. And the responses have been interesting. I'll say peace be with you and also with you. And I'll say, "Ah, you grew up in the church." And they go, "Yeah." Or I get other people that this is not their holiday who say, and peace be with you. And how wonderful that in that moment we can wish each other peace. And then I think about one of the people that lives on the street that most times drives me absolutely crazy. But on the 23rd, he was doing okay. And he said, Maggie, Maggie. I said, yes, John. And he said, Maggie, you live out Christ. You teach about Christ. We see it. And I put my hand on him, which I don't often do to homeless. I put his hand on him and I said, thank you. I needed to hear that. And as I go, he said, and God loves you, Maggie. A bit of hope within this world that feels dark to me. So I want to invite you to look for hope around you in the midst of this darkness and be hope for others as you walk in the way of light. As if you're of our tradition, you walk in the ways of Jesus. Because we're going to need that hope for days ahead. We can be hope for each other. We can be hope for the world. I think that's why people come to church, to receive hope, to be transformed. Christ became like us so we might become like Christ. To receive hope, to be hope. May it be so. Amen. And so this night, you get to be givers of hope. We're going to take up the offering now. So as it's passed around, give generously, for you will be hope for others.